We're doing Bikavot with Rabbi Yonah. We're up to the fourth chapter, the fifth Mishnah. Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, says the following: Halomed al menat lelamed. If someone learns and his intention is to teach, maspikin miyadol lelmod lelamed. So then in heaven they'll help him succeed in learning and teaching. Halomed al menat lasot. But if you're learning because you want to do what you've learned to perform, maspikin miyadol lelmod lelamed lishmo v'lasot. So then in heaven they will help a person succeed, both in learning and teaching, and ultimately in performing. So he seems to be encouraging us to learn for the sake of performance. It's interesting. Could you learn in order to teach but not perform? I'm just going to learn how to put on phylacteries to teach you how to put on phylacteries. But no, don't bother me with putting on phylacteries in the morning. What? Okay, so that needs work. Now, one of the things we were supposed to do last night and did not get to is learn how to make tzitzit. So this coming week, remind me, guys, we should do that. Lasot, we have to learn how to make tzitzit. So that slipped by the wayside. Rabbi Tzadok Omer, tying tzitzit. What?
To tie.
How to tie the strings. Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Rabbi Tzadok says, Al tase matra litgadel ba. Don't make the Torah into a crown that will make you great. Velo kadom lachpo ba. Don't make it into your shovel as your way of making a livelihood. And that's what Hillel used to say. If anyone who uses the crown of Torah will pass from the world. That's the famous story of Rabbi Tarfon, right? Who was it? Rabbi Tarfon? Wasn't it Rabbi Tarfon? That someone caught him in his own field, picking a fruit, and it was one of his workers, and the worker was sure that he was a thief. He didn't recognize the boss. Rabbi Tarfon was always learning. He wasn't coming to the field. So he said, gotcha, finally. And he grabbed him and threw him into a sack and said, I'm going to throw you in the river. And Rabbi Tarfon begged him and pleaded and got nowhere until finally he realized that his life is in danger. And so he said to himself, oh my gosh, Tarfon, oh my gosh, your own worker doesn't recognize you. And the guy hears the muttering and he suddenly realizes, wait a second, he did have a beard. He was finely dressed. Maybe I made a mistake here. And he puts down the sack and runs. And the Gemara says that for the rest of his life, he regretted what he did. Rabbi Tarfon. He said, the only reason I got away with it was because of my beard, because I looked like a learned person. I used my role as a Torah authority to save my life. So the Gemara says, what was he supposed to do, die? So the Gemara says, he could have paid him off. Rabbi Tarfon was very wealthy at that point in his life. Rabbi Tarfon started out his life being poor, and Rabbi Tarfon regretted that he used the crown of Torah. He said, had I offered the worker, I would have told him, you know what? I'll pay you 50 times the food I ate. He says, I would have gotten away with it, right? And then I would not have used the crown of Torah. So Rabbi Tarfon, it says, for the rest of his life, regretted having used the crown of Torah. So that's coming back to our story. That's what Hillel says. One who uses the crown of Torah will pass from the world. Whoever gets personal benefit, uses the Torah for his personal benefit, is removing his life from the world. So that's our Mishnah. Now, says Rabbeinu Yonah, if one learns in order to teach, so in heaven they'll help him do that. Chas v'shalom shen ze medaber b'lomed al menat lelamed v'lo la'asot. Rabbi Yonah says, "Don't heaven forbid you should interpret the Mishnah the way I just did, right? That the first part of the Mishnah says, you're learning in order to teach, but you don't intend to perform. We're not talking about that type of person. He shouldn't be teaching. If you're not going to perform the mitzvot, Torah is not a theoretical science. Shezen maspikin miyadol lelamed v'lo la'amed. Because if a person says, I'm learning the Torah, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to teach it. It's a good way of making a livelihood. So in heaven, they won't let him succeed in learning or teaching. But sometimes you have a person who says, I'm going to learn, and once I have a basic understanding, without knowing too many details, I can teach, because I know more than the next guy. And then a person says, I know enough to teach, but in fact, he doesn't know the details. There might be instances that really he thinks are permitted and they're not. So in heaven they say, all you wanted to know was enough so you could go out and teach. Well, in that case, that's what you'll succeed in doing. You'll know enough to teach, but you'll never really know enough to perform things accurately. And that there are many teachers that way. It's a big yitzer hara. go out and teach, because you definitely know more than the students, right? So once you've been in Machon Meir 2 days, you can teach someone. It's true. You know more than the next guy who hasn't been here 2 days. You've been here 2 weeks, you can teach. Now, I always say you should teach. I'm a big fan of teaching. But my point in learning shouldn't be so that I can go out and teach and hear. I know a little bit more than the next guy. I have to learn in order to know all the details and perform it. And Rabbi asked me a few weeks ago, he said, how do you teach in Machon Meir? How do you prepare a class for Machon Meir? A rabbi not from the Machon. He said, how do you prepare a class? I said, the biggest challenge is to learn not for the sake of preparing the class. I said, there are, to my mind, two challenges in teaching a class. Number one is you have to learn not for the sake of the class. And it's a challenge, because if you know you're teaching, so then you're tempted to say, I've learned enough to teach the class. And that's not true. I told them there are two challenges. Challenge number one is learn for the sake of learning, not for the sake of teaching. And then the teaching has to be a byproduct of what you know, but not the focus of what you learn. And the second challenge is teach what the students have to hear and not what you know. Meaning, very often, your temptation when you're teaching is, let me give them my knowledge, and that's not necessarily what they need. A teacher has to focus on what the student needs to hear, not on what the teacher has to offer. It's a totally different calculation. So I told them those are two challenges, and if you think about it, they go together, they go hand in hand. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's the pshat in the Mishnah, that if you're just learning so you have information to give over, well, then you're not really going to get it. It's very limiting. And I'm telling you, on a personal level, what the Mishnah just said is a very big challenge. It's very hard not to learn for the sake of what you teach. Because at the end of the day, that's what you need, no? That's the pressure. Tomorrow morning, I got to give a class. So it seems to be natural that what you learn will be for what you teach. No, you have to strive differently. But if someone learns for the sake of performing, he'll accomplish all of them. A person says, I'll work on all the details because I want to get it down pat. I want to understand. And sometimes you guys know in Talmud, you can spend a whole page and work really hard to figure out one detail in halacha. You spend a lot of time learning and you end up with, now I understand what happens when an animal walks down the street and a rock shoots out from under its leg. Great, I don't have animals. Oh, I'm sorry. But says Rabbeinu Yonah, but the key here is a person is trying to work based on the truth. And that's one of the things we have to remember very often when we study Talmud. It's frustrating. Why am I spending so much time studying one detail? You can spend a long time learning one thing in Talmud, but then you ask yourself, how important is that? How often is that going to come up in my life? I'm learning the truth. I'm striving to learn the truth. There are two points we have to remind ourselves. Number one is that point Rabbeinu Yonah just said, and number two is that I'm also learning a system. And as I learn more of that system, I'm gaining tools that will help me learn everything else. In the beginning, when you enter Talmud class, you wonder, why is this even important? Where is this going to come up in my life? And it might not. It could be you're never going to own an animal that's going to walk around public domain and shoot out rocks from under its leg. That could be. But that's not the point. The point is I'm learning two things. I'm learning the words of Torah, and that has value in its own right. And number two is I'm learning the system. I'm gaining the tools with which I'll be able to learn everything else. So it's not so relevant what I'm learning. It's much more enticing to learn something that I see is relevant in my life. That's true. But nonetheless, you have to remember that you're gaining tools. Yes?
And how is that the learning in order to do it?
You're saying what?
You give the example of tzitzit, and then we'll actually make tzitzit. But then you, the example of the animal...
Okay, so that's a legitimate question. I would just address that on multiple fronts. Number one, the whole concept of damages stems from the concept of thou shalt not steal. So I have to watch my belongings. I was standing by they had this free soda machine. Not a soda machine, like where you could just open the faucet and take out your, and get a drink. And I see a guy coming and his hands are full and he has a cup. So he leans over, turns on the faucet, the water's running, and then he puts his cup under the faucet and gets his cup full. So I said, I'll close it for you. I figure, why should we lose more of the juice? You know, he's going to pull out his cup, put it down until he goes and closes the faucet. You just wasted a half a cup of juice. So the guy says, don't bother. I'm thinking, I'm not doing it for you, buddy. I'm doing it so there'd be enough juice for the next guy. So I'm about to close the faucet. I see his cup is almost full. And a guy standing behind him says, don't close it. I'll put my cup under it. And I'm thinking, but from the time he pulls out his cup and you put in your cup, again you're losing juice. Why don't you close it, put down your cup, open it again? And then I said to myself, how sad. To me it's a given. When you learn Talmud, you learn about hezek pachos mishave pruta. You learn that the fact that something is of minuscule value does not permit me to damage it, to take advantage of it, to waste it. There's no reason for it. It's laziness. It takes 1 second to close it and open it. That laziness, I let the thing go to waste. So when you learn Talmud, you develop a certain sensitivity. When we say, I'm learning Torah to perform, I don't always know that I'll perform that specific duty or that specific element that I'm learning, but it's teaching me an overall sensitivity. When I learn Talmud, I'm learning the way to think that Chazal wanted me to think. Chazal wanted me to be aware. Is my animal going to shoot off rocks as it walks around? Well, you know what? It's not just about an animal shooting off rocks. It's also about an animal defecating in public domain. Well, that might be relevant. You might own a cat. You might own a dog, right? Your dog walks over to the neighbor, sits down on his brand new shoes, and the next thing you know, those shoes aren't white anymore. Well, what's that? What type of damage is that? Well, you learned that because you learned Sroros. You learned about animals shooting off their damages, etc. I'm just saying we don't always know where it's going to be relevant. But if my attitude is, I'm learning in order to perform, I'm learning in order to know how the Torah wants me to behave, so then it will come up. Sometimes it's a sensitivity the Torah teaches me. Sometimes I'll actually know how to apply that halakha. And sometimes I won't know. So someone asked me a question 4 months ago. Someone knocked on the door, they had tefillin, and the sofer, the heads of the shin were written in a way that the sofer told them it's not kosher. So I looked at his tefillin and I said, I'm so happy you came. He said, why are you so happy? I said, because 15 years ago I asked this question and no one ever asked me this question. I have a tradition from Rabbi Feinstein on this shin that no one ever asked me on. And now that you asked me, A, I get to review it, and B, I get to apply something I learned at least 15 years ago. Maybe it was 20 years ago already. Yeah. Well, more than 20 years ago. I said to him, I'm walking around 2 decades with this psak that I never could apply. The question came up when I was apprenticing in Stam, when I was apprenticing learning how to write. And the question came up, and I passed the question on to Rabbi Feinstein, and no one ever asked me, so we had the question once 20-some-odd years ago, and now you're coming, and I'm the tradition I have. I can finally give it over to someone. The question came up. So for 20 years, I had this halacha that when would it be relevant? I have no idea. I didn't know if it would ever be relevant. So I'm saying when we learn, a bunch of things are supposed to happen. We're supposed to connect to the concepts. We're supposed to develop the sensitivity. And then, Be'ezrat Hashem, there will be opportunity to apply the concept.